is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Cashing Out right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We've got a trio of tremendous hours for you. We've got a trio of great guests, as it is Greg Hoops Peterson holding it down tonight. And we are going to be joined in a few minutes by a man that does such a great job taking a look at this great game of hockey, and Ken Danico. He is a three-time cup champion, and he's going to be able to give us some insights with this overtime that we've got right now, as things are all squared up 3-3 between the Panthers and the Oilers. We're going to be getting that third period going down probably in about the next 10 or so minutes. So we'll take a look at how we've all gotten here. We'll be talking to Ken in about 10, 15 minutes, and we're going to get his thoughts on what we've all seen, and Russ will be able to get some live commentary from him as well. So that's going to be a lot of fun, where you've got a pair of other great guests joining me, as Tanner Kern. He does great work over at DraftKings. I know he does a little bit of hockey as well. He's going to be joining me in 45 minutes. We're going to be taking a look at what's a pretty solid slate in baseball for this Thursday. Sometimes on Thursdays we get a very sparse card, like last week we had 5 games on the card. This week we've got 13. So that makes me very happy, and I know that that makes Tanner very happy as well. And we've got to talk with our good friend Wes Reynolds. He does such a great job on the links. He's one of our main contributors over here at VSiN. He's going to be joining me, and we're going to be talking about what we can expect north of the border out there in terms of golf. And I know that he's a man that is from the great state of Indiana. I have to talk some NBA finals with him as well. So we've got a jam-packed, loaded show, and we start things off with the cup final currently being in overtime. It is all knotted up 3-3, and this is something that I was talking about last week, so I'll give myself a little bit of a pat on the back. For then, anyone that took Sam Bennett to be a win Conn Smythe, this is looking pretty solid for you. He's got a pair of goals here. I was seeing as high as 33-1 last week, and that just really didn't make any sense. He had 10 goals in the postseason going into this, and he's already got a pair of goals here tonight, as it's been a little bit up-down all around with regards to this game, as you had a very harebrained first period. Anyone that took the first period under, that did not get there, as you had 3 goals in the first period with Leon Draisaitl being a put-the-biscuit in the basket. And for the Oilers, the last 2 goals have been guys that you wouldn't expect. Mateus Elkham was able to get his first goal of the postseason, and Victor Edvinsson, hopefully I said that correctly. I completely butchered that last name, so we're going to go with Victor Edvinsson. Hopefully we got that one correctly the second time around. Victor Edvinsson, he gets his second goal, so these guys were able to put it in, and Brad Marchand, he has the other goal for the Panthers right now, so we've got a lot that's going on there. And for Sergei Bobrovsky, even though he has given up 3 goals, it's been a lot of attrition here by the Oilers, putting 36 shots on goal. So, I mean, it has been a lot of action. It has been outpaced. This is exactly what you want from the cup final. And we're going to be getting refreshed here in the next few minutes. We're going to be starting up overtime, and we're going to see what we got on that front. And if you're looking at being able to bet this live before we do get overtime started, you've got yourself a relatively pick'em price here with regards to money line. For the Oilers, are minus 120, minus 110. With regards to Florida Panthers, obviously no total because the next goal is going to be winning. So that's very much off the board, but we do have ourselves a lot of fun out there. And while we take a look at some live action, we do have quite a bit on the baseball front as well. As we've had a gong show out there in San Francisco by one team in particular, the Padres. They're currently up 5-0 on the San Francisco Giants. That game is in the 5th inning, and man, for Kyle Harrison, not necessarily the start that he was looking for here, as for Kyle Harrison, had some question marks with him going back into the starting rotation for the Giants. Now, I will say this about the Giants. If you're looking a little bit more at a live under, they have the number one bullpen in terms of ERA in the big league, so that does help you out a little bit. Now, you're going to be seeing more of the long guys here for the San Francisco Giants. You're not going to be getting your super studs like Randy Rodriguez and company, but that said, I do think that that might be worth a little bit of a look here, because I do think that they can hold down the fort. And we saw a lot of rain out there in the northeast, or I should say the central part of the country, so the great state of Georgia, because right now you still have this Diamondbacks versus Braves game going down. I know that I talked about this in the previous show, recent primetime, with our good friend Scott Seidenberg. Right now for the Diamondbacks and Braves, this game is 2-0. This game is in the bottom of the 9th inning, but you have the bases loaded for the Braves, and if you get overtime, oh boy, that is going to be a lot of fun, because these two teams have to play once again at 9:15 a.m. Pacific time, 12:15 a.m. Eastern time. Right now it's 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, so that is a quick turnaround, and yeah, these guys are going to be feeling it quite a bit, so You're going to be taking a look at what we get on that front end. Right now, up at the plate, there's now two outs in the bottom of the ninth inning, as it's going to be Mr. Baldwin, the catcher for the Atlanta Braves, Drake Baldwin, looking to be able to bust through and looking to be able to put a run up on the board. And then in terms of rain delays as well, these two teams are going to be playing once again a day game here on Thursday. And these two teams, they got started very late. The Tigers and the White Sox. Right now, this game is 4-3 in the bottom of the fifth inning. Again, if you're looking in terms of Central Time Zone, this game is currently 10:05 p.m. Central Time. This is not going to be getting done before about 11:30 p.m. Central Time. So these are going to be some sleepy teams as well. So might be a little bit of an angle there. And especially with the Chicago White Sox, it's a offense that has been sleepy all season long. They have not necessarily been so great on that front. So I do think that you might be able to find yourself a little bit more of an over there. And you've also got yourself a game out there in Sacramento where you actually might see an under hit. Like, these have been tough games to be able to bet, by the way, because with the Sacramento A's, it just feels like they have no idea what they're doing with their pitching rotation. So you might notice a lot of these games overnight for the A's over the last week or so, they have been off the board. That's because they're utilizing a bunch of openers. That's because they have really no semblance of starters other than Luis Severino, but even Luis Severino at home has been absolutely terrible. And to throw an opener tonight in Justin Cerner, he gives up a sole home run in the first inning, and currently that's the lone score in this game, 1-0. Currently, the Minnesota Twins are in the lead, and right now for the Metropolitans, they're up by a count of 3-0 against the LA Dodgers. That's at the end of the third inning, as Tony Gonsolin did give up three runs in that first inning, has settled down ever since then, but it's been a little bit suspect for him, and Griffin Canning living up to his name. He has been canning the Dodgers for three scoreless innings, so we're going to keep you guys abreast of that, and we do have to keep you guys updated as to everything that's going on here at VSiN, because if you want smarter bets for the football season, you want to sign up for a VSiN Pro subscription, and you're able to get a full year for $199, so you're saving about $41 off the regular price, plus you're going to be able to get a free pre-order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by Josh Applebaum. It's a no-nonsense guide to reading the market, spotting sharp action, and making smarter NFL bets. You want to sign up now to get access to everything that we do here at the network, a daily best bet email of all of our, from all the picks from our VSiN shows and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video access via the VSiN Watch app, plus our 2025-26 NFL betting guide. That's dropping July 1st, and I know we're very hard at work on that. You're able to sign up on this offer over at vsin.com/subscribe, promo code of book, B-O-O-K, that is vsin.com/subscribe, promo code B-O-O-K. It is Cashing Out with myself, Greg Oops Peterson, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, and we're right now waiting things to be getting back going in terms of the NHL, in terms of this cup final game, 3-3 going into overtime, so we've got ourselves some fun here, and I mean, some of the most memorable games with regards to Stanley Cup are those, like, marathon, triple overtime, four overtime games. Like, I still remember when they were in the bubble, and there was that one playoff game where I forget who was playing in there, but I mean, it felt like it went on for about 27 hours. It was absolutely magnificent, and I mean, maybe it's just me, but I always love this with regards to sports. I know that some people love these games to wrap up, like, very early and everything like that. The games I remember the most, like, especially being a baseball guy like myself, those, like, 18-inning slobber knockers where nobody can hit the ball to save their lives. You're having, like, the pitcher pinch hitting and everything like that. Those are some of my favorites. Like, maybe I'm just a sicko for things like this, but I absolutely love those games because you're never going to remember, oh, it was a 10th inning and the ghost runner on second ran all the way home or something like that. No, you're going to remember, oh, it was a dead of, like, August. I still remember this game, the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Milwaukee Brewers. You had Clay Holmes pitching to Jordan Lyles, the relief pitcher, still one of the greatest games I've ever seen because Jordan Lyles just stood up there, took a walk from Clay Holmes, and he saved the Brewers' season. So those are the sorts of games I personally do like, and something else I do like is taking a look at what we've got out there in Seattle as well. Right now, this game is 1-1 in the bottom of the sixth inning, as it's been a relatively good pitching matchup here. A little bit of a surprising one, as Cade Povich has been able to do a nice job holding down the fort for Baltimore. He's given up just one run in five innings, and Emerson Hancock for the Seattle Mariners, he's given up only one run in 5 2/3 innings, and these are some of the guys that you want to take a look at, like an Emerson Hancock. And the reason why I bring up Emerson Hancock is if you look at the raw ERA and if you look at the fielding independent, you'd think that this guy's a schlub, right, with the start that he had tonight, a 5.19 ERA. But if you look a little bit further at the numbers for Emerson Hancock, he has been doomed by like two really, really bad starts. His first start of the year, he goes out there against the Detroit Tigers. He gives up 6 runs. He doesn't even make it out of the first inning. He had one other start where he gave up a massive 7 spot in. Other than that, 3 earned runs or fewer in 8 out of his 10 starts. That's something that you want to try to isolate. How many starts are these guys going out there and giving you, if not a quality start, just a presentable one? Like, I would consider giving up 2 runs in 4 2/3 innings, even though that's not a quality start, that's a presentable start. You can work with giving up 2 runs in 4 2/3 innings, especially if you have a rock solid bullpen like the Seattle Mariners do. So those are the things that you do want to be taking a look at this time of year, and I do think that they're going to be paying some dividends. What else is paying dividends is the fact that we've got overtime out there in the Cup Final that's going down out there in Edmonton right now. And right now, if you're looking at your live money line, last check, we were finding this as a relatively pick'em number. The Oilers are very, very slight, minus 120 favorite, minus 110 with Florida Panthers. So we're going to be seeing what we're going to be getting on that front end. We're going to be talking in a few minutes just a little bit more about this game in general, because we've got a man that really knows this stuff with regards to hockey and Ten Danico. He does a tremendous job over at MSG and so much more. And I know that he's won 3 Stanley Cups, so we're going to be getting his reaction to this. And we're also going to be just recapping what we're all seeing on this baseball front as out of a baseball card, by the way, where the Colorado Rockies went from 3 road wins entering into the series, and now they've got 6 road wins. So that's going to be intriguing to take a look at. They're going to be off on Thursday, one of the few teams that are going to be off, but we've got them in action on Friday. And with regards to the Thursday card, we've got 13 games, so we're going to be previewing all those. We're going to be keeping you guys updated as of what's happening out there on the ice, and we're going to be talking to Ken Danico. He does a tremendous job. Take a look at this great game of hockey. We've got ourselves overtime, and we've got ourselves a great guest up next right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Great to be joined by this man on the Progressive Guest Line as we've got Ken Danico. Who better to have on than this man, as he does some great work over at NHL Network, and I know that he does a great job evaluating this great game of hockey, as he's a man that has been in these wars before. He's a 3-time Stanley Cup champion, and Ken, it's great to get you aboard. Thank you.
Good to be on with you, and it's already started. It looks like, as everybody predicted, this is going to be as tight as it gets, and game one is in overtime.
No question about it. This is absolutely tremendous what we've got right now. And just take us through what you saw in regulation in order for us to be able to get to overtime, because it just feels like it's been a high-flying game throughout, and it really feels like we are getting some good offense from both sides.
Yeah, I mean, it's very physical. Not a whole lot of ice out there. Both teams, the reason they're here is, yeah, they've got a lot of star power and offensive capabilities, but they defend very well, and the goaltending's been good. I thought Edmonton came out very well in the first period, but for them, unfortunately, I thought they had the better of the period, yet they trailed 2-1 because Florida was very opportunistic, and they get a goal. The Oilers challenge it for goaltender interference, and when you lose that challenge, you get obviously a delay of game penalty, and Florida was able to make the Oilers pay again, so they took a 2-1 lead quickly after the Oilers had a 1-0 lead. The second period, Florida really found their footing. They took over, but it remained only a 1-goal game as Stuart Skinner did his best work in the early net. He really kept the game within one. And then the third, we talked about momentum shifts and period-to-period, game-to-game, whatever it may be. The Oilers totally dominated the third period, able to get that tying goal, and that's where we stand. But I think it's just been a back-and-forth game, pretty evenly played. One couple periods, maybe Oilers had the advantage first and third. Florida did have a 3-1 lead, large in part, like I said, because they're opportunistic, and they had a big second period, I felt. But they do such a good job, Florida, and both teams really, of clogging the neutral zone, not giving the star players like the Barkovs and the McDavids and Drysdales a lot of room to operate. I thought in the third period the Oilers found a little bit of room and really starting to get to their transition game, speed game, and they were getting some chances off the rush, which there wasn't many opportunities for that through the first 40 minutes because Florida's defense stand up so well and their forwards come back and really close that gap and close the time and space. But it's been great so far. Physical, nasty. I think over 80-plus hits after three periods. Exactly what you would expect, what I love. And that's why these two teams, everybody expected possible seven-game series. We shall see. And you don't see rematches too often, do you, in the Stanley Cup Finals? And there's a reason. The reason we are seeing that, because the Oilers and Panthers, no question, have been the best two teams in the league the last couple of seasons.
And you mentioned the physical play. We have seen a lot of shoving here in overtime already. We're about 5 minutes into overtime right now, 14:54 remaining. And right now it's the Oilers minus 120, the very, very slight favorite as of right now. And with regards to the goaltending in this game, I do think that is very interesting because we did see the Florida Panthers get out to a lead, but Sergei Bobrovsky did let up a few goals to allow this game to get tied. And how do you take a look at the dynamic of goaltending for one in an overtime session like this, and two, overall for the series? Because I do think that that could be the biggest advantage that the Florida Panthers have, a guy that has been here and done that in the Cup Final.
Well, I think that's a fair assessment. I mean, everybody going into the series says Florida has the advantage in goal, but everybody before the Dallas-Edmonton series said Dallas has a large advantage in goal, and it certainly didn't turn out that way as Skinner outplayed Ottinger in the five-game series that went the Oilers' way. So you just never know. Stuart Skinner's been one of those crazy stories, and I kind of have a ton of respect for him because it is like a box of chocolates, as they say in Forrest Gump. You never know what you're going to get, but you certainly, the last seven games, he has been outstanding after being pulled and really struggling in the first round against the Kings. Bobrovsky, he's been there, done that. He is one of the best money goaltenders in the National Hockey League. So that's why you give Florida the edge, but I give Stuart Skinner a ton of credit. His teammates love him. He's a guy, the most important thing for a goaltender in the most scrutinized position is to be able to block the outside noise and the criticism. And Stuart Skinner struggled, and when he's gone through tough times, and he did it last year as well, and he, if you ever hear him speak after games, I mean, he's a guy that really keeps things in perspective, keeps even keeled. Not easy to do if you're a goaltender. Like I mentioned, the most scrutinized position in the game, because goaltending can win you a series, it can lose you a series. So, but he's been great, and he's been able to, pick himself up, dust himself off, as they say, when he struggles. And I think that's why his teammates believe in him. But yes, not as consistent as Bob, but certainly Bob's one of those guys that has been the best in the business. When the chips are down and when it's all said and done, he will be a Hall of Famer, in my estimation, from what he has accomplished already in his National Hockey League career. But Skinner, I'm watching this overtime. Skinner looks pretty darn good, as the Florida Panthers have had a few grade A chances, and Skinner's kept them at bay. So we shall see. But this series, no question, it's must-see TV if you're a hockey fan.
Oh, it certainly is, and I was mentioning this guy as well. How much do we need to be talking about Sam Bennett a little bit more as well? Because with Sam Bennett, he's got two goals in this game. He right now leads the Stanley Cup Finals with 12 goals, and we all want to be talking about the goaltenders. We want to be talking about Leon Draisaitl. You want to be talking about McDavid on the flip side as well, but I feel like Sam Bennett has really put together a massive postseason, and that guy's going to be getting paid in the offseason for sure.
Well, I was just going to say, there's going to be everybody talking about Sam Bennett in the offseason because he's an unrestricted free agent, and he's going to get paid a boatload of money. And I think it's going to be unprecedented from the standpoint where he gets to $9, $10 million. And he's a perennial 50-plus point guy during the regular season. So it doesn't sound like a lot. Sounds like a huge overpay if you're just looking at his regular season numbers as far as what I believe and everybody believes he's going to get paid in free agency. But he come playoff time, and he did it again last year, and you mentioned leads the league in goals in the playoffs so far this season. Another guy that raises his level of play at the most important time. That's the playoffs. and he's just such a well-rounded player, built for the playoffs. He's big, he's nasty, he plays physical, but also has that great scoring ability that we've just talked about. So he's a special player. They're hard to find. He's the elite power forward for today's game, and every team in the National Hockey League wants a Sam Bennett come playoff time, and that's why somebody this summer will overpay him overpay from what I mean when you just look at numbers in the regular season, as I mentioned, but he brings so many intangibles. And come playoff time, if you're a playoff team, you know you got one of the best players in the National Hockey League.
Yep, no question about it. And it's going to be a lot of fun to see what we get for the rest of this Cup Final. Ken, I know you're doing an amazing job over there at NHL Network and so much more, and really appreciate the time tonight. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Enjoy the finals, my man. Talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Ken Danico, he does a tremendous job breaking down this great game of hockey, a man that has won three Stanley Cup finals. He's been a part of three Stanley Cup teams, so it was great to be able to get him aboard. And something else that we want you to get aboard on is starting your day with an edge and a game plan. And the Daily VSiN Morning Bets podcast is your look at the day's betting lines, sharp action, market movement, and so much more. It's all compact into 15 minutes, so that way it's done before your morning coffee is, and you're able to know how to be able to make the smart wagers and say out of all the line moves. It's hosted by our team over here at VSiN. The Daily Morning Bets podcast is fast, focused, and built for bettors like you. Listen to the VSiN Daily Morning Bets podcast wherever you hear podcasts, or get it on the VSiN Watch app. It's the sharpest way to be able to start your betting day, the VSiN Morning Bets podcast right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And shameless plug for myself, for those that are looking specifically for baseball, the Baseball Betting Show. Every single game, every single day, we've got you guys all covered there. When I'm off of this show, I will need to do a little bit of an insert for the fact that we've got a double dip between the St. Louis Cardinals and the Kansas City Royals. So we've got that fun going on. But what else we've got going on is the fun that's happening out there on the ice. While we were talking to Dan, we saw a few opportunities for the Florida Panthers to be able to strike, unable to cash in. Right now it is 3-3. You're about midway through overtime. We've got 10 minutes and change remaining in this first overtime session, and it has been rather remarkable what we've seen out of both of these goalies, as Sergei Bobrovsky had to stop 33 shots just in regulation alone. And Stuart Skinner, he didn't have quite as many saves in the, shall we say, regular session, but now he's been stepping up here in overtime. He's currently got 27 saves up on the board. So both of these guys, 90%+ with their save percentage. So even though this game is going to be going over the total, as right now we've got a 3-3, it is certainly a case where both of these goaltenders have been able to up their game. And we'll see if we get a conclusion here in one overtime, or if we're going to have one of those games that we're going to be talking about for a long time. Maybe we get two overtimes. Maybe we get three overtimes. These guys, they are busting. They are grinding. And here at VSiN, we need to be busting and grinding as well. We'll keep you informed on this game and take a look at all the late night MLB action on the flip side right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Cashing Out right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Big thanks to Ken Danico. Join me in the last segment. We're breaking down what we've got in overtime right now in the Cup Final. It is 3-3 between the Panthers and the Oilers. Right now, if you're looking at your live money line, very straightforward. The Oilers are minus 120. The Panthers are minus 110. Really, the only way you're going to see too much of a shift in this number is if you see some sort of an injury and or one of these teams goes on a power play. So we've got that pretty straightforward, as we've got 8 minutes remaining in overtime here. So we will see if we get one overtime session. If we get two overtime sessions, that's all the better. And if we go past two overtimes, then we're really looking at some good, clean family fun right there. And that's what I'm hoping for. Like, these are the games that you remember forever when they go to like three overtimes, four overtimes. I was mentioning that game in the bubble where you had it between the Blue Jackets and the Tampa Bay Lightning. That game went to five overtimes. And yeah, that was one of my favorite ones to ever be able to decipher. And right now, with these two goaltenders, they have really been able to step up thus far. As you got Sergei Bobrovsky with 39 saves tonight. Now, he's let in three goals, and one of them was a little bit softer, but I mean, he has been on point. Stuart Skinner actually was given credit originally for 27 saves. He's actually back down to 26. They reversed one of them. But overall, he has been able to do a really good job. There have been a few very good opportunities for the Panthers here in overtime. Have yet to be able to cash in. So we will see if that is going to be changing moving forward. And something else we do have to keep you abreast of as well. I was alerting you guys earlier on the show that we had the Padres up by a count of 5-0. That lead is now 5-3, and as I said, there might be a little bit of value here on the Giants because you've got a San Francisco Giants bullpen that's currently number one in the big leagues in terms of ERA. Nick Pivetta was able to get through six innings, but he did let up three runs, and he allowed a bomb to Matt Chapman. It was the 11th home run of the campaign, and now you've got Jason Adam on. They actually let Nick Pivetta come back out for the bottom of the seventh inning. It did not go so well for him, and for Jason Adam, this guy has been amazing. Like, he's got a 1.20 ERA this season. Last year, he had a sub-2 ERA. This is low-key, one of the best relievers that you're going to find in all of baseball, but they're having to burn him up in the seventh inning. Now, you still have Robert Suarez in the bullpen of the San Diego Padres, and he's, in my opinion, is one of the better closers that you're going to find in all of baseball, but certainly you've got yourself an interesting game out there, and we've had things die down quite a bit out there in Los Angeles. The New York Mets got off to a 3-0 lead in the top of the first inning. Guess where we are in the top of the fifth inning? That's right, 3-0, as Pete Alonso has done all the damage. 13th home run of the campaign. He did have Juan Soto get an RBI here as well, but Griffin Canning has been able to go to work. Four scoreless innings in for the LA Dodgers. It's just been hot and cold for them over the last few weeks. It just feels like there hasn't been a lot of consistency with them. They have now lost two out of their last three games coming into tonight. Barely able to get the job done against the Mets last night as Brandon Nimmo, he did not help up the cause of the New York Mets yesterday, so we'll see if he's going to be able to atone for that, but so far so good for this bunch. And right now, in terms of what we're seeing in the Cup Final, we've got a lot of action that's going down, and Florida was able to get another scoring chance. They were unable to cash in on that, so you've had Sam Bennett be able to just attack the net a lot in general, and Sam Bennett already two goals, and again, I will keep going back to this. If you're looking for a little bit of value for this Cup Final Series, I still think that Sam Bennett to be able to win the Conn Smythe Trophy, you still have some value. Right now in a lot of places, it's between 11-12-1. You were able to get prior to the Cup Final, and I was looking at this when Florida had just closed out and they just advanced to the Cup Final. You were able to get them at 30-1. I think the highest number I saw out there was 33-1. I could be mistaken, but I mean, still, being able to get 12-1, I think is relatively solid value. I think that he should be ahead of his teammate Alexander Barkov in this market, and certainly Sergei Bobrovsky is right now the odds-on favorite, and even though he's allowed three goals in this game, it's not like Bobrovsky has been some sort of slouch or something like that, but I think that this Game 1 could be a sign of things to come. You've got two very high-powered teams that have been able to put the biscuit in the basket for the Oilers. You've got Leon Draisaitl. You've obviously got Connor McDavid as well that is able to give you so much. And I know that Scott Seidenberg was mentioning this a few days ago in terms of being able to bet the Conn Smythe. If you're looking at some of those guys on the Oilers, just being able to have Connor McDavid have his moment after he was not allowed to be able to after he decided to just not be out there on the ice when he got his Conn Smythe trophy in a losing effort last season. I know that there's probably going to be a lot of writers that are going to be tugged at the heartstrings to be able to give it to him if the Oilers are able to pull off this series. So you want to be gauging that very accordingly. And certainly I don't think that the losing team is going to have the Conn Smythe winner this year. So that's something that I do decipher. And I think that this is going to be a very interesting market moving forward. And I just think that this is a sign of things to come here for the Cup Final. I know that we were talking about it with Ken Danico in the last segment. It's a very tight series. These are two of the best teams in hockey. And sometimes when you get into a playoff setting, things like that in the NHL, you do get some upsets. But I mean, the fact that you've got the same Cup Final that we had a season ago, the fact that you've got two of the top teams from the entirety of the regular season here in the spot right now, we are truly being treated as it is cashing out with myself, Greg Oops Peterson, right here on Visa, the Sports Betting Network. And you do want to get in on some sharp plays as the sharpplays.com, they are making sure that they are there before the line moves. They don't chase the market, they are moving it. And you are not just going to outmuscle a $1 billion sports book or full time sports bettors by yourself, but that's why you've got the sharp plays on your side, and they've got your back. They are powered by cutting-edge AI and trusted insider sources. The Sharp Plays delivers the edge that serious bettors truly do rely upon. You know, we get free betting reports, real-time alerts, and market-moving insights all delivered on your email or the old Twitter/X. And this isn't some overnight startup. The Sharp Plays has been documented, and they've been around since 2011 with receipts, public logs, and results that show that they are on the right side. Sharp Plays has a bunch of trusted pros watched by the books. Check them out now, sharpplays.com, as it is cashing out with myself, Greg Oops Peterson, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And What has been sharp has been the play out there on the ice. Currently, we've got 3-3 in overtime. This has been a, shall we say, more of a, we've had a few opportunities here in overtime. We have not had that power play opportunity quite yet, though. So we shall see if that is going to be coming, as this has just been a lot of fun in terms of what we've seen here in this one. You've got about 5 minutes and change remaining in this first overtime. Money line has stayed the same. Oilers are minus 120. Florida Panthers are minus 110. And I'm very curious to see where game number two is going to be opening up with regards to that line, because this was a closing number in most places of 6 with regards to the total. Now, it was shaded up a little bit more to the over, and we are certainly going to be getting a closing of 7, because you can't end this game without a winner. And right now it's 3-3. You're only going to get one more goal, but I think that that's going to be fascinating to be able to dive in on, because you're going to have a pair of teams that I recognize that they're going to be getting that day of rest, but man, with this overtime session, it takes a little bit out of you. Certainly for the goaltenders, you want to be staying as sharp as humanly possible, but I think that the longer that this game goes, the more that you probably like a little bit of an under in game number two, because even though you are going to have that day off on Thursday, if this goes into like a double overtime game, a triple overtime game, you've got a lot of guys out there that are experiencing a lot of ice time in general, and this is taking a toll on you, not just with regards to the ice time, but also this has been a very, very physical game. I've just seen it here in the overtime session. You've got a bunch of hits. You've got a bunch of checks. These guys are getting chippy. They've yet to lead into a fight, because just in the cup final, you're not going to be having the gloves really dropped unless if there's some sort of big giant blowout and you want to be sending a statement, but these are pair of teams that they love to lay it out there on the ice. These are a pair of teams that are not afraid to get physical, so that's what you do like to see right here. So we shall see what we get on that front end. I wonder if we do update you a little bit with regards to what we're seeing on the baseball front as well, because we do have quite a few games that are going down. We had a lot of West Coast baseball here tonight, and for the Seattle Mariners, a team that I did back on this night, they were up by kind of 2-1 going into the top of the seventh inning. Well, they have relinquished that lead as Adley Rutschman, who's done not a lot this year, I think is fair to say. Well, he did something here. Sixth home run of the campaign as the RBI for the Baltimore Orioles tonight are by Adley Rutschman and Heston Kjerstad, two of their top picks, two guys that have been very, very underwhelming this year. I have to wonder if the Orioles all of a sudden are starting to figure out a little bit of something, because it's still been a relatively rough season for them, but does feel like things have gotten a little bit better here over the last few weeks. And for the Seattle Mariners, the one thing that you're able to say about this team is that now you get to go up against the bullpen of the Baltimore Orioles. Like, going into this game right now is Sir Anthony Dominguez and his 5 ERA. I still remember when we thought that this guy was going to be the real deal with the Philadelphia Phillies, has been anything but the real deal with the Phillies, with the Baltimore Orioles, what have you. And for the Orioles, just really nobody's been trustworthy for them this year. Like, even Felix Bautista has been a little bit suspect. I remember when you had Yennier Cano and Bautista be one of the best 8th and 9th inning duos in all of baseball. And it's certainly not the case anymore. And that's something that I'm very much watching for. And for the Seattle Mariners, it has been offense has been a little bit up and down, because they've just been so significantly better away from home rather than when they have been at home, as Seattle actually suppresses offense if you utilize 2024 ballpark factors more than it is elevated over at Coors Field. And we're going to be looking to elevate the baseball front up next, as Tanner Kearney does tremendous work over at DraftKings. He's out there in the great state of Massachusetts. He's going to be joining me, and I'm going to see if he's got a little bit on the ice as well, because I know that Tanner is a little bit of a hockey guy. He does some great work with regards to baseball. This guy does a little bit of everything. He's been joining me for years here on the network, so we're going to keep you guys informed there as we're coming to the end of overtime number one. 3-3, Panthers versus Oilers. We'll see if we get a conclusion, and we'll talk to Tanner on the flip side right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We're following what's happening right now with regards to Florida Panthers and the Edmonton Oilers, as we've currently got a power play, as we've got ourselves some very interesting action that's happening right now out in Edmonton, as it was a power play for Edmonton. Tomas Nosek, he had a delay of game for puck over the glass, so That means that you've got yourself a prime scoring opportunity. And how about if we talk a little hockey and a little bit of baseball with this great man, Tanner Kern? He is joining me on the Progressive Guest Line. He does amazing work over at DraftKings. And Tanner, I know that you, much like myself, love baseball. You, much like myself, love Stanley Cup action as well. And I always appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, Greg. Really appreciate it.
I appreciate you, and we'll get to your baseball plays in a minute, but first things first, what have you made out of this overtime game between the Oilers and the Panthers, where it's been just back and forth, a whole bunch of shots on goal, and even though both teams have already scored three goals, I've been very impressed by both the defense and the goaltending in this.
Yeah, it's been an awesome hockey game. I think between the two teams right now, you're approaching 80 shots total. So a really good defensive effort on both sides. Sergei Bobrovsky has been fantastic. And it seems like Edmonton's been hammering the rock all night. They just haven't gotten it to be able to break, really. And that's a testament to Bobrovsky. On the other side, Skinner's been really good in the net as well. So if this is what, you know, a preview of the series moving forward, it's going to be really exciting to watch.
Yep, it certainly is going to be in. Did you take a position on either of these teams with regards to game one, series, or any sort of futures?
I did have a future on the Oilers. I also took my winnings from the Texas Longhorn softball game and put a little bit on Edmonton Live in overtime here. So I'm all in on the Oilers right now. I think the revenge factor from last year is definitely big. And you see how they're playing. I mean, in the offensive zone, they are attacking the net. And eventually they're going to get to Bobrovsky. It's going to take time. It's going to be a long process there. But when you put up 45 shots like they have done so far tonight, heading into this power play, they're going to be in a good spot. They can do that throughout the remainder of the series. So I do like Edmonton moving forward, as good as the Panthers are. I don't think Bobrovsky can stand on his head throughout this entire series. I think eventually that rock's going to have to break, whether they win tonight or not.
Yep, and for Sergei Bobrovsky, he's been able to do a tremendous job of standing on his head in game number one, and we do have a goal. The Edmonton Oilers, they are going to get the job done, 4-3. Edmonton with the win, and we were just mentioning it. It felt like the Oilers were just getting opportunity after opportunity. They're finally able to bust through. They get the goal. They were on the power play, so they're able to cash in on that opportunity, and I'll double-check to make sure that we get the correct goal scorer that was able to end this game, but man, what an incredible game that was, as on the power play, the Oilers, they do find a way to be able to get the goal. 4-3, the final in this one. And Tanner, your feature looking all the better. And Leon Draisaitl was the man that was able to put it in there. He had about 30 seconds remaining in overtime, by the way. So we were very close to getting a second overtime, but we do now have a final 4-3. The Oilers, they take game number one, as this is cashing out right here on Visa, the Sports Betting Network. And if you did have the Oilers, you were cashing out. And Tanner, I know you mentioned that you had a little bit of a live bet here on the Oilers as well, so you're able to as well. We'll see if you're able to cash out on the other final as well. So we've got the OKC Thunder and the Indiana Pacers beginning on Thursday, with the Pacers anywhere between 9 to 9.5 point underdogs. Total on this game is in that neighborhood, about 230 and a half. How do you view game number one and the series as a whole, with the Thunder being, let's call it what it is, pretty massive favorites?
Yeah, I'm thinking Thunder in 5 or 6 games. You're getting a good plus money price on both of those. I don't think the Pacers are going to have the team to stay in this series throughout the entire matchup. If they do, they're going to win in 7 games. If you're a Thunder fan or a Thunder backer here, you're probably saying 5 to 6 games. And if it goes 6, it would be a little bit of a surprise. Bottom line with the Pacers, they have been on this magical run. They have not dominated throughout the entire playoffs. They've dominated some games, don't get me wrong, but they've also mounted these unprecedented comebacks, and you just can't do that against a team like the Thunder. I mentioned on my podcast a few weeks ago, this Oklahoma City team looks a lot like UConn from a couple years ago in college basketball. You go down 7 points, the game's totally over, because they play elite defense, they make their open looks, and they continuously get to the line. I mean, it's tough watching OKC as a fan, or just even a better in general. No matter what side you're taking, the game becomes boring because they find ways to get to the free throw line. It's not just SGA, it's this entire team. When you're looking at Indiana, they have guys that can obviously score, Pascal Siakam, Tyrese Haliburton. They have a really good offensive lineup, and that's what it's going to take to beat Oklahoma City. I just don't think they can do it consistently for enough games and find a way to win this series. So I will be laying the points in game one with the Thunder, and then also moving forward throughout this series, I like them in 5 or 6 games.
Yep, and I do think that for the Thunder, they should be able to take care of business, be able to win the final. Again, I don't want to bet five or six games because I do think that the Pacers, at the very minimum, when they return home, they're going to be able to steal one game, but it's all about whether or not they can steal a second game as well. So I'm right there with you. I think that that's a relatively solid look, and I do think that we've got ourselves a very good slate of baseball for this Thursday as well, because typically it's getaway day. Typically you only get a few games, but we've actually got 13 on the card for this Thursday. And how about if we dive in on this one? Because in terms of the Giants versus Padres game that we've got here tonight, for the Padres, they have, for lack of a better term, peed down their leg. They were up by a count of 5-0. They're now trailing by a count of 6-5. This game is in the eighth inning, but I know you've got a little bit of a lean here in terms of Padres versus Giants for Thursday, with it being Robbie Ray versus Dylan Cease. And right now for the Giants, right around about minus 115, minus 120 favors. Where are you taking a look at in terms of the Thursday game?
I'll take the Giants on the money line here. You look at Dylan Cease having a very disappointing season. Really was surprising to see him give up 7 hits and 4 innings against the Pirates in his last start. Pittsburgh's under a lot of scrutiny right now because they obviously can't deliver offensively, especially when Paul Skeens is on the mound. So just really surprising to see him struggle against an offense like that. Cease has been especially bad on the road this season, 5-6-8 ERA, 0-2 record over 6 starts. We know he can turn it up at any time. He's that kind of pitcher, so it wouldn't be surprising to see him go out there and shove tomorrow. But at the same time too, you got to back what he has done so far this season, and that has been struggle on the road. Looking at Robbie Ray, he's been fantastic. 7-1, 2.43 ERA, whip right around 1, 78 strikeouts in 70 innings, and has surrendered just 48 hits on the year. So you look at pitching and home field advantage, Giants are a very good home team. Padres are an average road team. I will lean towards San Francisco.
I think that that's a solid look, and with Robbie Ray, he's really been able to rein it in this year, and I do think that there's some positivity for Dylan Cease to be had, but just hasn't been able to put it together this season. And a team that has been putting together a relatively solid start to the season, that'd be the Seattle Mariners. They're going to be facing off against the Orioles in the final game of their set on Thursday, and if you're looking at this game that we've got on Wednesday, the Orioles, they were trailing for much of it by a count of 2-1. They've been able to claw their way back, but you always have a tough time with this bullpen, 3-2 in the bottom of the eighth inning. But what are you taking a look at in terms of Brian Wu versus Zach Eflin? And with the Seattle Mariners, they're hovering in that neighborhood about minus 175 favorites. And you're looking to cut down on that juice by looking at a first five rather than the full game.
Yeah, I like a minus the half in the first five. Baltimore's been a massive disappointment this season, Greg. We got to talk about my Red Sox at some point, too. Both of those teams have been a massive disappointment in the AL East right now. But looking at Zach Eflin coming into this game, the biggest reason that Baltimore has struggled this year has been their pitching staff. Zach Eflin does struggle a little bit, especially when it comes up to, you know, elite strikeout ability. Doesn't necessarily have that. And that's a problem against the Seattle Mariners because they lean on home runs. 6 and homers, so it's going to be really tough to counter for Eflin against a power lineup when he doesn't have power himself. When you look at the Mariners, they also have one of the best pitchers in baseball on the mound in Brian Wu. He's 5-2, 2.8 ERA, 0.95 whip. Allowed just 58 hits in 70 innings so far this season. So looking at him here, I think he's good enough to shove this Orioles lineup early. And the Mariners definitely have the talent to add a few home runs there early as well. So I think just based on the starting pitching matchup here and the two offenses, I do like the Mariners to come out with a lead after the first five.
Yeah, but I do think that that's a very solid look, and I like this look as well. You've got the Phillies and the Toronto Blue Jays doing battle with Jesus Luzardo, who prior to his last start looked really good, but he gave up 12 runs to the Milwaukee Brewers. I think that the Brewers just hit another home run going against the Blue Jays and Chris Bassett, who's been struggling himself. Right now we're finding that total in a lot of places, hovering right around about a 7.5. I was seeing a little bit earlier a few 8s. This is actually one that is very much on the move as we do this show, as I'm actually seeing a few 8.5s popping up there as well with the Phillies, about a minus 120 favorite. Take me through this game of what you're liking between the Phillies and the Blue Jays.
Yeah, it was 7.5 minus 120 most books earlier today. Then it was minus 130. So I do picture this one getting up to 8 in most places by tomorrow. I'm going to go with the over of 7.5. I did get this one earlier tonight. Jesus Luzardo and Chris Bassett, they're both going to allow base runners, whips in that 1-3-5 range. They're both strong strikeout pitchers, which is huge, obviously, for keeping games under. But walks can be an issue at times, and this does lead to runs. So I'm going to hope that's the case. tomorrow. When you look at Lizardo, he's been much better on the road than at home, which is a concern for the over. But he's coming off that game, as you were saying, against the Brewers, where he allowed 12 runs in 3.1 innings. Just not good enough there. And I do think he's going to return to his normal self a little bit here. But at the same time, too, that's definitely in the back of his head. The Blue Jays have put up some big offensive numbers lately, including 39 runs in their four-game series against the Athletics just one series ago. And the Phillies' offense should be fine against Bassett, too. They're seventh in runs scored and fourth in OBP. So really like the over in the spot.
Absolutely. And I always love having you aboard, Tanner. You do such a great job breaking down some baseball. And do appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
Great to be able to get Tanner aboard. And we will take a little bit more of a look at the Thursday baseball card. But we have to recap what we saw in Edmonton next on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.